And I want to talk from a spiritual point of view this morning of why there's evil. Because a lot of man try to justify evil through different behaviors or through different backgrounds or, mental illness, which it is real. I understand that. But we'll get to the real source of the problem, the real issue, and where it came from. So what is demonic warfare? Now, we know what demons are. I always know what demons are. Demons are real. And demons are active. And demons are exercising their authority as they can in the earth. But we are now, and have been forever, in demonic warfare. You know, a person that, rapes a child, it's not that person. It's that demonic stronghold in that person. Church, we must know our enemy. The person's not the enemy. The demonic spirit inside that person is the enemy. And that's what we must be fighting against and addressing and praying against. Nobody in their natural mind that God made us would do things like that. Evil exists because of demonic warfare. Go to the next slide. Demonic warfare is the attacks of Satan against you. Period. It's Satan's attacks against you. That's demonic warfare. Where did this begin at? Let's go way back to the beginning. When God created man in his image. And the Bible is clear that we were created in God's image. How's God? Perfect, powerful, authoritative. God gave man dominion to rule his creation. We were in charge of everything. There was no government of the earth. God was our governor. God was the government entirely. We went from a one-man government system to where we are today. He was all that we needed. And man was governed by his authority alone. And God told man, says, I'm going to put you in this garden. I'm going to put you in this place of perfection. And you have access and freedom to all that I've created. It's yours, except for one thing. Do not touch, do not participate in, do not experiment with this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man did not know evil until man participated and disobeyed God. Once man touched the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, man's heart was opened up to something it never opened up to before. We now knew evil. And we've had evil ever since. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The devil ain't going to like this message. And so, I understand if y'all don't like it, I'm preaching my own. It ain't you. It's what's inside of you. And I recognize that. Because the devil does not want this message preached. Because he disguises the enemy as being you. Yeah, Chris is the real enemy. Carrie's the enemy because of the way she acting. No. Something deeper inside. Man is not the enemy. It's the demonic spirit that's our enemy. And it's continually fighting against us and fighting against us and fighting against us. What causes us to go into a rage? And don't tell me none of y'all have done it. I don't care how mild you are. I don't care if you're the guy that does dry eyes, itchy dry eyes. I don't care how calm you are. You go into a rage. All of us can have a button push that we snap. What causes that? It's demonic influence, rebellion, anger, frustration. All of that comes from within inside because we now, church, know what evil is. You know, we can't even imagine not knowing what evil is. Can you? We don't know not what evil is. Even our small children know what evil is. They understand when something's wrong and something's bad. They recognize it. Evil is a part of what we fight against every day of our lives. And we must first identify our enemy. In every war that America's had, we've identified our enemies. World War II, we knew our enemy. Korean War, we knew our enemy. Vietnam War, we knew our enemy. Gulf War, we knew our enemy. We know who the enemy is, and that's who we attack. Many Christians don't know who their enemy is, therefore they don't fight very efficiently. You can't fight efficiently if you don't know who you're fighting. And you sure can't fight if you don't know what you've been equipped with. Any soldier is equipped and issued all that he needs to do his job. We have been equipped spiritually with all we need to fight the enemy. We can't just roll over and pretend he doesn't exist. We can't just say, well, God, you just handle it. There's times we have to rise up and we as God's people declare war upon the devil and say, you're not crossing this line, for I am armed with the power of the Holy Spirit and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And stand up and fight, because he sure is fighting against you. And we let him right in our door sometimes and just take over. And we allow the enemy to invade us. And it's time we stop that. Next slide, Jeremy. Look at Ephesians chapter 12. 6 verse 12. For we wrestle with flesh. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the deposums, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly or supernatural sphere. That's our enemy. The Bible identifies who we're fighting. It's not each other. It is master spirits in present darkness. It's those spirits in supernatural realms. We're fighting an enemy, church, we can't see with these eyes. And we can't grab a hold on with these hands. You may punch somebody's lights out and think you've hit your enemy. You've not touched your enemy. Because the authority of your fist can't destroy the enemy that's within inside. It takes a rebuke and authoritative cancellation out of who he is and a rebuke for him to come out. That's who we're speaking against. We're speaking against those spirits that are inside that try to take control. You know how most people go insane, or why they're in mental institutions? One of the common reasons, they start hearing voices, don't they? Don't you always hear that? I start hearing voices. I hear these voices telling me to do this. Just kill yourself. Just jump off that cliff. I hear the voice saying, just go walk in that water and just don't come up and just drown your. I hear this voice saying, go get that kitchen knife and start cutting yourself. They start hearing voices. Understand, a person that's suicidal, they're listening to a lie and not the truth. The truth of God sets you free, but the lies of the enemy will keep you bound. People begin to hear, and we think they're crazy. People that have no spiritual understanding, we think they're hearing voices. Oh, he's hearing voices again. Yeah, guess what? They are. They're hearing voices. They are hearing things coming against them. And to them, it's so real. Because, church, we are in a spiritual existence. We're only clothed in flesh. If somehow we could just rip out us out of the flesh and shine a light upon it and have some kind of form, we could see it. We can't see the real us. Our real us is clothed in what we call realness. But it's not realness, because it's all perishing. It's all decaying. As Chris made it very clear, he's going blind and he's fat. So we see, that was what he said, not me. So we see ourselves. And he's like me and don't have a lot of hair. So, you're pretty bad shape. We need to pray for you, brother. So we see ourselves decaying. We see ourselves perishing. You ever seen an old movie star, and you see them, you grew up watching them, and now they're in, 70s or 80s, you're looking at them, 90s, you're like, oh my gosh, I thought he was hot. Now he's like, ugh, bless his heart. Because we're perishing on the outside. We're decaying. This is not the real us. The real us, we can't see. The real us is inside. And that's what we're fighting. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting strongholds that can't be broke with a fist or a bullet or a knife. We're fighting something that must be cast out by the authority and only the authority of a living God. That's how we get rid of it. Next slide. What is Satan's choice of weapon? Satan has one major weapon he uses to attack and to fight. And it may not be what you think. There's a lot of things like discouragement, you know, deceit, oppression. All those are tools too. But they all stem from this one big weapon. Everybody's got the one big weapon. Next one. Lies. He's a liar. God ain't real. God won't heal you. God won't set you free. You're unworthy. You're guilty. There's blood on your hands. Don't believe this word crap, this Holy Bible junk. Don't believe in the Holy Spirit stuff and the risen Savior junk. Really, a wooden cross made that much difference? Are you kidding me? Really, there was a man that walked on water? Are you kidding me? There's no heaven after this. You just rest. There's no hell and no condemnation. It's not there. It's what man has always said to keep people bound. Lies, lies. That's his weapon of choice. He lies. You're unworthy. Nobody loves you. Just end it all. Nobody cares. There's no such thing as one God. It's who you want to choose. It's what makes you comfortable. If you want to worship the water God, worship the water God. You want to worship Muhammad, worship Muhammad. And that's all lies that Satan uses to keep us and to destroy us. You'd be better off with a different woman or a different man. Just leave your wife. Leave your husband. Just do that. You deserve that. You deserve that. Because you've look how she is. Look how he is. All these lies. Go ahead and just go have some pleasure and have some fun. Go get smashed drunk and shoot up and do what you want because that's what you need. It's okay. And we hear that. That's what he deals with, lies. Next slide. Look what John 8 says, 44. This is Jesus speaking. You are of your father, the devil. And it is your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer, talking about the devil, from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Because there is, what does that say? No truth in him. There is no truth in him. So anytime you say, the devil told me to do it, don't do it. The devil made me do it. Then you messed up because there's no truth in him. He doesn't care for you. He hates you. The Bible says he is a lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. He wants to destroy your life. John 10 says he's a thief. He cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. Period. God loves you, church. God is not the murderer. God is not the cancer giver. God is not the destroyer. God is for you. The devil is against you. God loves you and the devil hates you. God will heal you and the devil will curse you. It is God who is good and God gets the glory. Stop blaming God for the lies of the devil. He is a liar and he hates you. Understand your enemy and stand against him. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him. For he is a liar himself and the father of lies and all that is false. That's what we're dealing with. The devil is a liar and his lies is how he uses his manipulation against the people of God. Because we believe a lie more than the truth. And we see it on the news. We see it with other types of spiritualism where people are flocking to a lie and not the truth. I don't care who says, how many says. Church, it doesn't matter what politician or what star or what actor or what leader rises up and begins to say, there is another path to redemption other than Christ. It is false. That's what the devil wants. The Bible says in Matthew, there'll be many false prophets to rise saying that I am Christ. But don't listen to that. Refuse that and rebuke that. There's only one Christ. He is risen forevermore. And he's going to come back and restore his kingdom upon the earth. That's the Lord we serve. And there's no other truth. Don't believe the lie. And lies can come so subtly and so sneakily. That's how he deceived Eve in the beginning with a lie. Hey, Eve, come over here. I got something for you. You're going to love this. I shouldn't be talking to you. I shouldn't be over here in this area of my life. Now, come on. You'll like it. Look what I can offer you. Look at what I can give you. Look at this, Eve. Look at this. Eve, look. Don't you want to taste? Thank you. Don't you want a taste of this? Man, I'm like chocolate pound cake. I'm like a burrito supreme. I'm like a piece of fried chicken extra crispy. Don't you want some of this? I'm like a grandma biscuit or banana pudding bowl. Don't you want some? That's what he does. Great when you're reaching the babies. So, he's like, no, no. And you know, we read the stories, and once again, we have to have some understanding. I don't think this was a one-time event. The first time, boom, I fail. Just like our lives, we don't usually fall the first time, right? We dabble for a while, and we dabble. Like Samson, we dabble, and we dabble, and we dabble, and we get deeper, and we get deeper, until finally she gave in. And here's what he told her. Here's what the serpent told Eve. He says, oh, you can have this. Because she told him what God's word said. God said we would die. You're not going to die. He don't want you to have this because your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods. Wow, sounds pretty good. I mean, think about this. Y'all may not amen me, but every one of us, there was a song back in the 80s. I think NSYNC sung it. Was it NSYNC? Devil inside, devil inside. Every single one of us, devil inside, devil inside. In excess, thank you. Who'd I say? Who's NSYNC? Is that a group? Oh, that was your day, sorry. Yeah. And that song, of course, you know, back in the 80s, my mullet and my T-tops down, I would roll to that song, you know. I'd be driving my Firebird, devil inside, devil inside. It's just cool. But really, we do. There is a devil inside of each of us. And I'm going to tell you, if all of a sudden, Mandy, if you do this, you'll be a god. People will worship you. They'll bow at your skirt and kiss your hand. Yes, master. Oh, Usami, master. Ooh. Ah. We all would be like, give me a piece of that pie. You say you wouldn't, but we all got that. I know, look at you. We all got that. That'd be a scary thing, her God. Good gosh. So finally, Eve took it. And immediately, after she saw what evil was, her eyes were open. And she knew. And God came looking for him. Here we are, God. We're hiding. Why are you hiding? I'm afraid. Why are you afraid? I'm naked. How do you know you're naked? See, evil was exposed. It was exposed. Evil was exposed. And we've known it ever since. And we're trying to teach our kids against right and wrong from the time they're born. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't listen to that. Don't do that. Don't do that. We're having a constant battle. And what makes us want to gravitate toward that evil inside? Even though we're redeemed, church, even though we're saved by the blood, if you're born again, you are saved by the blood. You're a new creation in Christ, but we still are fighting the flesh. You can't get saved enough not to fight the flesh. You keep on going. So he's a liar. Next verse. How do we fight this battle? In our military, wars were fought differently. Think back to the Revolutionary War, how they fight. Hand-to-hand combat. How scary that would be. You got 5,000 people on this side, 5,000 on that side, and a gap in the middle, and you got your spear. The general says, go! How scary. You've seen movies, The Patriot? Oh my God, I've seen they're hand-to-hand stabbing. Their weapon was their sword and their guns. And they would just go blind into each other, fire. Then war's progressed a lot. Now we can fire missiles, and we have different ways we can fight. We have different targets we hit. There's different things we do. But how do we fight this battle? We can't kill Satan with a bullet. We can't kill him in a natural war. We can't defeat him by tear gas or nuclear bomb or atomic, nothing. That won't work. Next slide. We fight him this way. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So how do we fight it? Our strength's in God. We've got to understand, I've got to have my strength in him. I've got to fight in his power, not my power. I've got to fight in his authority, not my authority. Just like if you were a soldier in here and your sergeant told you to do something, you didn't question it. If he said, Doc, go out there. I want you to spin around 10 times. I want you to hit cup 4 times, burp 3 times, and wink twice and come back and see me. What would Doc do? Wouldn't matter how foolish it sounded. He'd have done it. You know why? Because the authority had spoken and Doc would be operating in that authority. We can't fight Satan ourselves. And we sure can't fight him with sugar-coated religion. And we sure can't hide behind somebody else and do it. We've got to know we are in his authority. We stand in his authority. We fight his authority like David did Goliath. In the name of the Lord I come against you. Not with my spear and not with my sword, but in the name of the Lord I fight you, and you will be destroyed. So we stand strong in the Lord. Next verse, or next slide. Look at this. Put on God's whole armor, which God supplies. I love that. God supplies it. We ain't got to worry about it. God's given us this armor to wear. And we are to stand, and we are to fight. And we are to rebuke, and we are to exercise our authority in Christ against the demons that are attacking our lives. Because they're attacking, church. They're in my home, and they're in your home, whether you mean it or not. They're attacking. They're attacking your family, your mind, your health, your finances, your spirit, your emotional state, your mental state. They're fighting. But God supplied this equipment for us, that we may be able to successively stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. In other words, no matter what comes our way, the armor of God is enough to protect us and to keep us from falling. We live in too much defeat as Christians because we don't know our enemy. We want to blame everybody else but the real enemy. I understand there is mental illness. But where does mental illness come from? Demonic powers. I mean, when you're hearing voices, I've been to Broughton several times to visit people and minister to people. That's a scary place when you're walking down the halls of Broughton and there's people screaming and hollering in rooms. Lost their mind. That started spiritually. And you know how it started? Listening to the lies. Just give up. It's not worth it. I was talking to a minister a couple books ago that had been pastor for about 15, 16 years. And we just went by to see him for a minute. We're fellowshipping and talking. He got so discouraged, he quit the church for a while. He quit for a little bit. He was done. So I'm done. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm done. I'm tired of all the junk. I'm just done. He said God spoke to him that he wasn't done. So he came back. He said he was at such a low point in his life. He was very close to loneliness 45 and ended it all. Now, what causes that? This is a pastor, a man of God. A man, a pillar of strength and influence to others. But at such a point in his life, I'm just done. Thank God he didn't listen to the lie. See, that's how Satan wins, the lie. Driving down the road, you hear a voice, just go in that tree, smash that bridge, end it. Lies of the devil. That's how he wins. we must remind him, devil, you're a liar. Anything that coming from you, I can't believe. It's not truth. I'm not going to listen to that. It's the lies that influence us so much. It's the lies that control us so much. You know, there are people with many strongholds, from sex addiction to drug addiction to alcoholism, addictions that, gambling addictions, I mean, that are real addictions that we just can't seem to break free from. I want to speak clearly today to each one of you that may be battling any of those issues. Don't blame anyone but the enemy. The devil's your adversary. Don't blame how you were raised or how this or someone else or this, or don't try to justify why it's right or why it's okay. All lies from the devil. It is a spiritual stronghold that needs to be broke and can only be broke through the authority of Jesus Christ. No other way. You know, I've said many times, you've heard me say this, and see, church, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, some of y'all ain't going to like this. I know you're not going to like it, and I just don't care. I don't care. I'm going to preach the truth. I hate when you go to an AA meeting or a DA meeting or a GA meeting that the first thing you announce is what you are. That's continually giving the devil fuel for what you are. I'm James Lewis and I am a drug addict. Man, I understand the man concept behind it. I understand the physiology part behind it. I understand that, you know, once you have it, they say you always... I'm going to tell you something. I've known people that's drank and been on drugs, and God set them free. I mean free. Not, oh boy, I can't go by Outback. I can't even drive by there because I got a bar. And if I get them at a bar, I'll be gone. No, it's broke. I'm talking about the root of evil is uprooted and out and gone and abolished and destroyed. God is the answer, church. Period. We're fighting demonic stronghold, not patty cake. You can't help it. Speak the word of God and let deliverance begin to flow forth. The devil wants to keep you in that lie that you can never change. It is what it is. I'll always fight it. Begin to claim the word of God and say, in the name of Jesus, evil thing be lifted out of me and cast into the sea. The church, I'm going to tell you, we're fighting strongholds, and man has watered it down to make us feel okay about things whenever the enemy's fighting us. It's not okay. Church is not okay. We stay bound because the devil tells us we have to be bound always. We don't have to be bound always. We have a fight that we're fighting, and we have the power of the Lord helping us fight it. Now look at this next thing. I use this term because we can all relate to it. Seven types of mass destruction we can use against the devil. The Bible tells us what they are. Look at these up here. Number one, truth of God's word. That's our weapon. That's one of our weapons. Truth of God's word. When you know what God's word says, not what you think it says or what somebody else tells you it says. When you know what it says, that through Christ all things are possible, that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. When you begin to know what God's word says, it is a weapon the devil cannot defeat. You know why? He's a liar, and truth always cancels out a lie every single time. See, the devil knows he has no power over you other than you believe in what he says. That's the only way he can move. I want you to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. We give the devil so much credit for how big and bad he is. And yes, he's roaming, he's moving, he's active. But the only true way he gets into your life, as a Christian, I mean, if you're a Christian, the only way he's able to operate in your life is if you listen to his lies and accept it. That's it. The devil sure has got me discouraged. Okay, stop right there. We've all been there. I've been there too. There are times I'm so long-faced, I look like a long-faced donkey. I mean, I know. So you make that statement, boy, the devil's got me discouraged. I'm just so discouraged. I'm so oppressed. The devil's just really got me. Okay, let's talk about that. How did he get you depressed? How did he get you discouraged? How did that happen? Well, let me think. Things were going good, and all of a sudden, I don't know. People started treating me bad, and I don't know. Things at work ain't all the stuff. And what we start doing, the devil starts whispering all this stuff to us. We allow him to come in and discourage us because we don't believe what God's word. God's word talks about. There's one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Joy. That's one of the fruits. Joy. Joy in the Lord. So if I know the truth of God's word, that joy is part of mine, why I'm in sorrow? Sorrow is from the devil and a lie of the devil, but joy is in God. I've got the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when I'm weak, I've lost my joy. Why have I lost my joy if God gave it to me? Because I let the devil come in and steal it from me and replace it with sorrow. I'm not going to let that happen no more. I'm going to know what God's word says. The knowledge of God's word, the truth of God's word, the Bible says, will set you free. So we got to know what it is. We got to know truth of God's word. Second weapon of mass destruction, and all this is followed up in Scripture here with these 7 points. Knowledge of who you are in Christ. That's a weapon we use against the devil. The knowledge of who we are. I am bought with a price. I'm God's. The devil can never have me from this moment on. My soul is secure in Jesus. I know who I am. I am the redeemed. I am the elect. I am the sanctified. I am the justified. I have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am no longer my own, but I belong to him. No man can pluck me out of his hand. I am his forevermore. A crown is waiting upon me. I am God's beloved, in whom he is pleased. When he looks at me, he sees the blood that covered my sins. He sees Jesus in me. Knowledge of who you are in Christ. That's a powerful weapon we have against the devil. That when he comes against us, remind him. Because he always reminds us, man, Joe, you ain't nothing. Joe Brown, you unworthy. Joe Brown, you really going to make it to heaven? You may not make it to heaven. You know, you're a pretty good boy, but you know what? You mistreated Sharon a few times, and you didn't shake the pastor's hand a couple of times, and you cussed somebody out at Burger King one day, and and all of a sudden, we start hearing all this stuff. So what does Joe Brown do? Devil, get away from me. I am the child of God. Do you hear me? I'm the child of God. I wear a crown. You can't touch what God has purchased. It is over. You've lost. It's done. There's no way back in. I have been forever taken out of my sin and placed in his righteousness. I know who I am in Christ. Do you think Michael Jordan, if nobody knew who he was, wouldn't use that line? I mean, everybody knows who Michael Jordan is, but if he went to a country where nobody knew where he was and he got treated bad, he walked into a room and nobody said anything, or the woman that took his order, you know, gave him a hard time. You know, you can't have pickles and lettuce. We don't make it that way. You got a problem, you see the manager. What would he say? Ma'am, you know who I am. I don't care who you are. I'm number 23. Well, get back in line, 24 ahead of you. No, you don't understand. You don't really know who I am. Look at me. I don't care who you are. I'm Michael Jordan. Okay, I'm Jane Smith. Nice to meet you, Michael Jordan. Who are you? If a person don't identify who you are, they don't give you the same honor and respect. And I guarantee you, we pull that card out. We need to pull that same card out against the devil. That when he attacks us, you forget who you're messing with. I belong to Jesus Christ. Do you know who my King is? Do you know who my Lord is? Do you know what jersey I wear? Praise the Lord. I wear the jersey called Forever. And the number on the back of mine is number 7 because it is complete. Hallelujah. I wear a crown that you can't ever have. I am the Lord's. Remind him of who you are. You got to know who you are in Christ. And I will tell you something. That don't change because you mess up. And that don't change because you don't feel it. There's times, man, we love feeling the goosebumps and the tears and the shaking and the crying and the Holy Spirit. We love those. But we don't always feel that way sometimes. When you're at work Tuesday morning at 10:30 and all hell's broke loose, I doubt you're going to feel like, whoo, I felt that to you. Whoo, Holy Ghost. You ain't going to feel that. You're going to feel something a lot different. And so what you got to do is remind yourself who you are. And when that attack comes, say, I refuse to let this destroy me or come into my heart and even plant a seed. I'm going to remember who I am in Christ. I may not feel it today, but I'm still his. My children go off to school all day long. They're still my children. I ain't got to see them. They're my children. Christian was in Georgia all weekend. She's still my child. She was hundreds of miles away from me. Still my child. I didn't have to hold her and to see her and to talk to her to know she's still mine. She was just as mine in Georgia as she was right now sitting right there in that front row. Never changed. No matter where we go, we got to know who we are in Christ. May not feel it, but we're his. The third weapon of mass destruction is preparation. That's a weapon we use. Any soldier is prepared for war. They train and they train and they train to be prepared for anything and for the enemy. They have hours and hours of maybe even odd training or weird training just to cover all bases. That if this happens, what would you do? If this happens, what would you do? Preparation is everything. Going back to Michael Jordan, there was a story about him that during practice, he would shoot like 200 free throws every single day to practice. And I mean, all through his whole career, never practice. And when the game came, he would know he could make them. Every game, he practiced and practiced and practiced. He prepared himself for his game. We have preparation against the devil that when he comes against us, we're prepared. Yeah, hey, Joe Brown, you're nothing. Joe Brown hears that voice for a minute. He pauses. He's prepared, though. No, I'm not nothing, Satan. I'm special in Christ. He loved me so much, he gave his life for mine. Get out of this place and leave me alone. He's prepared. When we're not prepared is when we fail. We must be prepared. That's one of our weapons. Fourth weapon, our faith in Christ. Our faith. That's a weapon we have. You know what faith is? Faith is not having to see it to believe it. When Chris is at home sleeping in bed, because he works third shift still, right? So you're asleep. He's at home in the daytime sleeping, and Carrie's at work DA-ing and using that loud courtroom voice, that authoritative manner, keeping things rolling. Chris can sleep and rest having faith that Carrie is not out running around, not having lunches with handsome attorneys, not trying to plant no seed or anything, handsome attorneys, that Chris knows she's at work. I can sleep and not worry she's out running around during the day on me, going out with everybody, and she's where she's supposed to be. That's faith. Chris ain't got to see her. He believes it. Faith is believing what we can't see, but trusting it so much that we just know. We just know. Our faith in Christ is a great weapon of mass destruction against the devil. That when he attacks our lives, we use our faith. God's on my side. The God of angel armies is around me. What, are you kidding me? Look behind me. What do you see? Look in front of me. What do you see? Look beside me. What do you see? I mean, really? My faith in the Lord. Bring all the arsenal you want, but my faith in Christ is enough to defeat anything you throw against me. Anything. Faith in Christ. Number five, a mind that is guarded, because the Bible says a helmet of salvation. One of our weapons is a mind that is clear and a mind that is sharp. Not allowing the enemy to get in here. Staying focused. Keep your mind sober and focused on the things of God. Because that's what the devil attacks too, is your mind. He comes right here. So if your mind is guarded, you're protected. If your mind is sealed with the Lord and his truth, you're protected. You're not going to let that junk in. You will recognize it's going to be like a, I don't know what you call them, but a radar that picks up a, you know, like if a missile was, I mean, I guess it still would be. Hopefully it would be still today. I don't know. But if a missile was coming our way, a radar would pick that up, intercept it. You know, boop, 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 something coming in. We picked up something, intercepted something. Destroy. It would intercept it. That's what happens when the enemy comes with his lies and our mind is right in Christ. It's an interceptor. And I'm not letting that in. That's a lie. See, what's happened, we don't know what lies are anymore as Christian church. We believe so many lies it's almost marred to truth. What's truth anymore? And what's a lie? I don't know the difference anymore. This person says this and this person says this. You know, our young people are so confused because every single actor and singer and rap artist and whoever is out there with a different spiritual message. Either there's no God, man, do it yourself, man, be who you are, live life to the fullest, dude. And then there's those that says, man, just find your way to God, man. Everybody finds a different path to God. Do it your way, bro. Do it your way. Just get there, man. Then you got those saying, man, you really think there's a man upstairs? I mean, really. There's one person watching all of this that's never had no beginning and no ending. Really, you think that's the truth? Man, use your smarts, man. You Generation Y or Z or whatever you are. You're that generation, man. Get some smarts about you. And we're hearing, especially our young, you're hearing this. Then you got Tom Cruise and his ridiculous Scientology. We're brought here by aliens and a ship's waiting on us. The mother ship's going to bring us back to some kind of, my God, are you kidding me? Even Star Trek made more sense than that. I mean, there are people who have pointy ears at least. I mean, that's real. None of y'all do. But so we see all this garbage, you know, and our young people are so confused. And there's no clear message. And truth has been marred with lies. The devil's a counterfeiter, is what he is. He presents you the $100 bill. It looks so real. You notice now you give them a $100 bill, they hold it up in the light, they're looking for that certain mark or print or whatever. They hold it up like that and look at it and see if it's real. I'm always so scared mine ain't going to be real. So every time they do it, please God, let it be real. No reason it shouldn't be, I'm just saying. So they hold it up, and that's what the devil does. He's a counterfeiter. He makes it look like it's right. He appears as truth, but beneath it's a big lie. That's what we got to recognize. I know we're a little bit over. Just stay with me just for a few minutes if you would. Number six, application of the Word of God. That's a weapon we have. Applying. I'm not talking about just talking about it. I'm talking about applying it. Like we did with Maverick. Bring him up here, lay hands on him, and pray the prayer of faith over him. Applying the Word. Not just, you know, how many times do we tell everybody in the world, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Everybody in the world, pray for me. But you've not even prayed for yourself. You've not even rose up one time and said, in the name of Jesus, I lay. Y'all will think this is funny. I know you are, but I think it's weird. But there have been more than one time I've laid hands on myself. I've anointed, I've been here by myself. I put oil in my own head and pray for myself. Not there's no power in me. I'm just doing, there's nobody else here. And I feel like I need to be prayed for. So I just, God, you know, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Pray for yourself. Exercise it. Apply it. When the devil attacks, use God's word against. That's what Jesus did. Remember when he was drawn in the wilderness and fasted 40 days and nights? And the devil appeared to him and said, cast yourself off this cliff, that ain't, you know, God will protect you. And what did Jesus do? He applied the word of God back to Satan. And then he says, take that stone and turn it to bread. You can eat it. Man should not live by bread alone. What did he do? Apply the word of God. In all three tests Satan gave Jesus, he came back applying his word against Satan. And Satan departed. The Bible says Satan left him alone. When we apply, it's a big difference talking about it. Yeah, boy, I'm going to pray. You remember the Andy Griffith with Barney Fife in the front porch? Him and Andy's sitting there. Yeah, I think I'll go to Thelma Lou's, get a little tea, and watch a little TV. Yeah, I think I'll go to Thelma Lou's and get a little drink and watch a little TV. Yeah, I think about the third time that city guy snapped. Go to Thelma Lou's. Go drink some tea. Go watch TV. Just go, man. That's how we are. I think I'll pray to God. Yeah. I need to tell the devil to leave me alone. Yeah. Yeah, I need to get more in church and get involved. I need to give my offerings. I need to show up for it. I need to volunteer. I'm going to talk to Randy one day and talk. I'm going to volunteer for a teacher one day. Man, do it. Because nothing happens until we do it. It doesn't matter how much we know unless we apply what we know. It's like the city of Statesville. I went by the day, there are 10 guys looking at one hole. Man, can y'all do something? I'm paying for that. Do something. All of them gather around. There's a hole in the ground, 10 of them. All right, guys. I about pulled over and says, guys, what do y'all need? I tell you what, why don't you go get that bulldozer and come over here? I don't even know anything about it. I could have got them working. I mean, my Lord, somebody go get some lunch at least. Go grab some sandwiches. Somebody do something. And just see them sitting around talking. What are we going to do about this pipe that busted? I don't know, George. What do you think about? Well, let's see, George. Let's go get George and waving at traffic and, you know, talking and whistling to women going by. Yeah, what do you want to do? Hey, babe. I don't know, George. What do you want to do about that? Man, deuce, go fix. Go to Lowe's and get some pipe and fix it. Ain't that hard? Measure, buy, fix. Go home. Punch out. Save me some money. Hallelujah. Go home to your wife. It's about applying the Word of God. Now, if you work for the city, please forgive me. I don't want anybody mad at me. I'm just saying what I saw the other day. I'm like, you're kidding me. Golly. Food line can't get two registers open. You got a hole with 10 people watching. Okay. Apply the Word of God. The last one, number 7. Weapon of mass destruction we have. Power prayer. Man, pray. What is prayer? People say, Pastor, I don't know. How should I pray? You just talk to God. You just talk to God. Any way that comes natural to you, you talk to God. It doesn't have to be an official minister prayer. It doesn't have to be some kind of fancy language. You just talk to God. God, I'm in trouble. God, I'm weak. God, I'm broken. God, I need help. Will you rescue me? Can you even hear me, God? Please show up and take care of me. Pray and watch what God will do. 7 weapons. Now, for time's sake, all you got to do, all these are found in the same chapter we're in, starting with verse 14. From 14 through 18 is in your Bible. So that's where those 7 weapons came from, out of those 4 scriptures. So read over those, know what battle we're in, and know who your enemy is. It's hard to defeat someone you don't know who it is. I mean, I'm telling you, it's hard to know. Just like the terrorists that bombed the marathon. They had cameras, they had pictures, but if they hadn't known who it was, they wouldn't be able to get who they wanted to get. We got to know who our enemy is. Our enemy is not your preacher. It's not your mother or father. It's not your wife or husband. It's not your children. It's not your boss at work. Your enemy is not even the news anchors that we don't like anymore. And all the media that makes no sense. That's not our enemy. That's right. The enemy is the devil, she said. Did you hear that? The enemy is the devil. And he is against you. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ and remember that. My enemy is the devil. Period. Nobody else. We're fighting in demonic warfare. That's where evil comes from. Church, we can put all the government programs we want to support the mentally ill. I understand it's a need, but it will not stop evil. You understand? It's not going to stop evil. Evil is not through a person. Evil is through the spiritual realm. And that's what we got to attack. And that's what we got to fight against. We're dealing with demonic warfare. Evil comes from demons. And good comes from God. So fight and stand. And don't give up. Hope you've enjoyed this teaching this morning. I'm telling you, if we could ever really understand what we're fighting, we would walk in more victory. We'd walk in more victory. Start recognizing the signs that come against you. And remember, it's the devil rising up. Because he is alive and he's after you. Oh, go to the next. Hit on down there toward the end, Jeremy. Yeah, going through all the verses. Oh, going down. Don't have some more writing. Is it gone? Oh. Either I didn't do it or Melanie did something to it. Oh, the devil did it. Anyway, I thought I had it on there, but I had it on there. Where did I? Oh, I got it right here. I actually wrote. I think that's what I did. I wrote it here and didn't write it on my screen. Let's see. Where's my Bible? I so need ADD medicine. Where's my big Bible? Oh. Anyway. We've won already. I want you to know that we've won because we're in Christ. We've won the battle. We are victorious forever. It's a matter of if we walk in victory here in the earth. But we've won eternally. So remember that. The devil, and that's why he attacks, and that's why he's so mad. He knows he can't ever have us. He's lost that. But he does attack us here in the earth. And we need to have more victory here in the earth to know who our enemy is and rebuke him. Father, we thank you for this word of God and for this message. And Lord, I pray that it gets into hearts and minds and souls deep inside. And Lord, I pray that hearts receive this today and minds hear it. And that there is no animosity and no rejection of this truth, Lord, that each heart will receive it as truth and will pray upon it and ponder upon it and come to realize that this is your word, that we are fighting demonic warfare, not human warfare, demonic warfare. That's why evil is, because of spiritual wickedness in high places. And Lord, we want to be able to stand up against that as your people and rebuke that and bind that and walk in victory and not listen to the lies of the devil. He is a liar. That's all he can tell. Let us only hear the voice of truth. And we give you thanks and we give you praise for this people here today. And I pray for strongholds and battles and addictions and all that are here today, that they begin to realize and hear this message and realize there is hope for them through you. That, Lord, you are bigger than any stronghold, any issue, any power that holds them down. You are bigger. And as they call upon your name and your name alone, Jesus, you will come to their rescue. And you will help them. Thank you for that promise that we have in your word. And we give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.